Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Quiva, thanks very much for coming on the show. How are you feeling?
It's all guns blazing, all steam ahead. No time for anything other than rowing.
No, exactly. We were chatting off air about your practice, your preparation for this year's race. Slightly different, as everyone knows, with COVID. How has that been?
It's definitely been like an added challenge, but it's been pretty amazing how the team has like risen to it, and the ways that we've adapted to make the most out of the season has been, it's been really impressive, and our coaches have just been really happy with that. And I think any other year might have been more of a challenge, but the kind of atmosphere that we have within the squad this year has made it like actually really exciting to be a part of. And we all feel very like well connected with each other and really focused on the same goal. So that's all really nice. And yeah, now that we're back on the water, we're just so happy to be there, and we're just like so excited to get the job done and do what we've been training for. So yeah, everyone's like really, really positive.
Just explain us the sort of timeline of what you've been allowed to do over the past few months. And when were you allowed back on the water? Presumably a lot of the time you've also been at home on your own with rowing machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the start of the season was quite normal. Like everybody was allowed to go rowing and everything. And then we had that lockdown in October, November, which meant 4 weeks of everybody going training at home alone, which is kind of fine because it was a very finite time and we knew that we were coming out of it and we had like set goals for within those 4 weeks. And then we came back on the water and we did our Tri-Lates event, which is an internal race in December of two matched crews. So that was a really good experience to get done. And then Christmas hit and then everybody retreated back into their homes for another 6 weeks or so. So then, we had a long period then of training at home, doing lots of ergs, lots of weights at home, that kind of thing. And that was a bit more difficult because there was less of a understanding of when we were going to get back, when the race might even be held, because we weren't sure. And we're really, really lucky to be able to be on the water now. And we have these 4 weeks to get ourselves prepared, our crew selected and trained to race. So yeah, we're in the middle of that now.
Well, we'll talk more about the boat race specifically later on, but let's talk about yourself then, Quiva. You started rowing at Trinity College in Dublin. Is that where this all started for you?
Yeah, that's where it all kicked off. I got lured into the sport there. Yeah, no, I'd never been around rowing before that really at all. It's a big sport in Ireland, but it's not as big as here. And yeah, I just kind of, it was one of the sports I signed up for when I, the Freshers' Fair, that kind of thing. I just really, really liked it, that the girls that we had at the senior team in Trinity, thought they were goddesses. And we were like, gosh, you want to be really like them. So, just got really hooked by the sport and what the training was like. And there was kind of no looking back from there. So I spent 4 years there rowing with Trinity and did some rowing for Ireland during that time, went to the under 23 European Championships. The excitement and the motivation for the sport has just kind of been building and building since then. And I had a really nice link. One of my first novice coach in Trinity was in the Blue Boat over here, Susanna Cass, in 2008 or 2009. So she like kind of introduced me to the boat race, and I was like, wow, look at these amazing things that girls can do. And then the president or the captain of Trinity at the time then came over here, Sally O'Brien, and she was racing for Cambridge, racing the Blondie race, and I was like, wow, okay, girls that I've even rowed with can come over here and do this. So yeah, that all just kind of pushed me over here, and now here I am.
You're sort of carrying on that slight connection then between Trinity College in Dublin and in Cambridge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Was there clearly a lot of natural talent then? Because it sounds to me, apologies if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me you obviously came to the sport quite late. So yeah. Was there a lot of natural talent there?
I'm just so talented. I don't know. I think it's one of those sports that like you definitely can pick it up. You can pick it up quickly. Like, that was kind of one of the things that I loved about it in Trinity, was that compared to joining the hockey team or something, like there were so many divisions, and like if you were learning from the start, you would be nowhere near the first team, whereas you can rise up in rowing so quickly it's really just one of those sports where you get as much out of it as you put in. But I also was really, really lucky. Like the coaching in Trinity was amazing, and it was a small enough squad that if they saw people that they thought had potential, there was a lot of room for developing that. And like, yeah, I just had some really good opportunities to row in small boats with people that were an awful lot better than me. When I came into the program, the senior team was in a really good place. Like they were really strong. And that really definitely pushed me up because I saw the level that they were performing at and training at. And I was, yeah, able to kind of throw myself into that because I could see it in front of me compared to, yeah. So there was a few things that definitely helped kind of propel me along the way. But I think just the enjoyment of it as well really like really pushed me forward. And I wasn't one of those people that immediately sat down in the erg and they're like, yeah, she's going to go to the Olympics, you know, and I still haven't because that's not my strength within the sport. Like my strength is just that I love the actual rowing so much, you know, that's really the part that drives me on rather than the pure numbers of it. So I think the kind of ongoing motivation to get better at that point really kind of helps me keep moving forward.
You mentioned the Olympics though. Of course, like you said, the European Under-23 Championships, you competed at a few years ago. Do you have future ambitions, aims of where you want to get to?
I don't know. Like it's, I mean, you're never going to say never, you know. I think I feel really lucky that I feel like if I wanted to do anything like that, this is Cambridge, like rowing for Cambridge is just definitely the place to be for me right now because, you know, there's a level of progression that I would need before I get to that, to be at that standard. And there's nowhere else really that I could do that except here. You know, like this is just the best place for someone like me to be looking to see how far they can push themselves and how close to that standard they could get. So you never know, but I definitely am in the right place if that was to happen.
And knowing the history of the boat race, the prestige of it, given your connections back in Trinity, what was it like stepping foot into Cambridge for the first time? Probably thinking you've got a chance of rowing in the boat race yourself at some point.
Yeah, it was just so exciting, you know, like I just felt like I was very nervous, obviously, because I felt like I was stepping into a whole new world. Like I was coming from, you know, being a big fish in a small pond to being a piece of plankton in the ocean. You know, I had no idea what to expect. But I think that I just was really enjoying the program and everybody was, the atmosphere, like the coaching is just so great. Like they just want the best out of you, you know, like it's not pitting athletes against each other or anything like that. It's really just like the coaching is just focused on how much they can get out of every single person in the program. And that really propelled me forward. And it definitely wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, you know, like everybody's human, like these athletes that are, you know, have been to the Olympics, have been to World Championships, they've got feelings just like you do, and they're humans just like you do. So that's really nice to, you know, be sitting on the air beside them being like, wow, this girl is like, she's done so much, yet she's happy to train beside me, you know, like that's really, really exciting place to be for someone who's coming newish into the sport.
And you've got a degree in psychology, you're now at Newnham College in Cambridge. If you were studying the psychology of athletes in a boat race and the mental state needed, what would you be saying?
I mean, it's every athlete is very different in what motivates them, but it's just, yeah, having the clarity of like those key things that drive the athletes on and being able to reflect on that personally, like having a good degree of self-awareness, like you got to be resilient, you know, you got to be able to bounce back. 99% of the time we're losing things or we're, you know, failing on ergs or whatever, and it's being able to pick yourself up from those training sessions and move forward. Like those are the people that are going to get to the top. So it's having that capacity.
And of course the boat race was cancelled last year, wasn't it, in 2020. Just explain that feeling then, Quiver, when that happened, because presumably you might have thought, yeah, will I get another chance, or did you think, you know, get back on the saddle and go for it again next year?
Yeah, like it was a real big blow, you know, like because all through the year, you know, you just get told again and again, the boat race doesn't get cancelled. The boat race is never cancelled, like snow, wind, rain, like you will be out there rowing like on the days that we show up and it's really, really windy. And we're like, we can't row in this. They're like, the boat race never gets cancelled. And now we're like, haha, the boat race never gets cancelled. But yeah, obviously it was really, really difficult at the time, you know, because it was only 2 weeks before the race we got told. But, you know, like there was so much going on at that time, like, you know, global pandemic, it was one small thing happening really in terms of what was going on for the world. So we've got a bit of perspective on it since then. But like the main takeaway is just that there's so many people on the team have come back from last year. You know, there's an awful lot of us again. And the like drive to finish what we started is so strong, you know, like we really, really feel that loss of not having the race last year. And we've got a lot to prove now and a lot to finish. And that's probably the main takeaway that we all took from it. You know, like, we're really, really lucky to be on the water. Like, so many people aren't allowed to be training. And we also have a job to finish from last year. So it's turned into a positive motivation, really.
And of course, the boat race this year in Ely, not in London on the Thames. Is that comforting, the fact that it's in Ely? Because you know the course pretty well, I presume you'd have trained on there and been on the water at Ely lots of times.
Yeah, the overriding feeling is just like really happy to have a race, you know, because there was like so many things, question marks over having the boat race in London. And I think we were all just really happy to have a decision early on as to like, there definitely will be a race in Ely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a added element of wanting to defend, you know, home territory for sure. You know, on our training sessions, we're like, this is our water, like, this is our race, like, we're here to defend this place. And I think that's part of the motivation during the race is going to be. It's a straight course, you know, there's not like there's a much of a home advantage in terms of knowing, like, there's not many markers, it's just fields either side. So there's not like a advantage in knowing the place, but there is a bit of a psychological benefit, I think, to like coming out and defending our home territory.
No fans there, of course, this year as well. What impact do you reckon that will have?
I mean, I've never raced it, so I don't know, but I think it'll be a little eerie, yeah, for sure. But I mean, when I'm, I don't know, from previous experience anyway, like when I'm racing, I don't notice any of that anyway. So I think once the race starts, it's probably going to be the same as normal. And maybe just the kind of hype around having people on the start line and while you're warming up and everything, that might be a bit different. But I don't know, we're just so focused on the job that we have to do at hand that it probably isn't going to make much difference to us. Obviously, it would be lovely to have people there and celebrating at the end. That'll probably be the weird part, you know, not having family and friends around at the end. But yeah.
You say focused on the job, focused on making it four in a row as well.
Yes. Yeah, big time. We've got big, big shoes to fill. You know, we've got a really good momentum going within the team over the last few years. And there's a lot of trust in the program and trust in, you know, we're following on from what's happened before. And that's a really nice place to be, you know, to be defending year after year. So yeah, we really want to live up to that for sure. And like make it our own year, you know, every win, you got to fight for every win. It just doesn't just come from being in a program that wins. Like every single team needs to turn up and make the win themselves. And we're very aware of that. Yeah.
And Cuiva, you mentioned the connections you had with previous boat race competitors, the likes of Susanna Cass and Sally O'Brien as well, and the foundations and the history and the knowledge they gave you of the boat race. Can you really believe, though, when you look back now at your time in Dublin, you'll be on the start line for your very own boat race?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so funny, like, you, when you're so in it, it's really hard to see how far you've come. You know, I'm just looking at like, okay, how am I doing compared to yesterday? How am I doing compared to last week? Like, I'm trying to make these small technical changes, trying to make these physiological like pushes forward. And then it's like, you know, someone like talking to a teammate from Trinity or like talking to my mom and she's like, can you see how far you've come? And I'm like, I can't really actually know. But it's kind of nice this week to have, you know, you talking to people about the race and that you kind of spend a bit more time than normal reflecting on your journey. And I am immensely proud of what I've been able to achieve since coming here. It's definitely more than I had imagined for myself. Everybody doubts themselves more than they should. But yeah, it's don't underestimate what you can do, I guess.
Cuiva, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it and all the best in a few days.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm loving the local sport at the moment, Ollie. We've got Cambridge United playing on Friday and on Monday this Easter weekend. But what am I going to do to fill the time on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, it is the boat race on Sunday. Why don't you watch that?
Cambridge v Oxford. What, they're in the final again?
Well, not quite, but it is a race that was first held in 1829 and they race each other every year. It's the 166th men's race, the 75th women's race and the first one at Ely since 1944, back in the war.
Oh, of course. I love this race. I watch it all the time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
If you're that keen, you can join me for our chat with Sophie Payne, the Cambridge University women's president, to preview the race if you like.
Yeah, all right then.
Sophie, thanks very much for joining us. The 2021 boat race is almost upon us. How are you feeling?
Oh, really excited. It's been a long time coming now. So it's just a few days away now and it feels almost surreal. Ely is completely transforming. BBC have come in. We've got event managers there. I mean, we've got to wear wristbands to get into our own boathouse now. So it's a bit more, it's getting real. the fact that the race is happening, I'm honestly just more grateful to be able to race than anything else. I realize it's such an honor and really exciting that we have such a great group of girls to race with.
So I presume there's an eagerness given last year's cancellation.
Absolutely. I think we've all come back with a fire underneath our bums. So we're ready to take Oxford on.
Well, Lucy's going to kick off with some quick fire questions. Take it away, Lucy.
All right. First quick fire question. Got to know, which college are you at Cambridge?
I'm at Girton.
And what are you studying at Girton, Sophie?
I'm doing a master's in the sociology of media and culture. So my research is on athletes and sort of social media. So I don't know if you know the app Strava, but I am looking at sort of competitive amateur athletes' interactions with this app. It's a relatively new space, especially over lockdown. So doing some research into that, which is really quite fun. I found for me that rowing and academics balance each other out really nicely for me. It's just like, just when I'm getting sick of one, I can do the other. So it's I do split my day quite nicely between the two.
Where did you grow up?
I'm from the Bahamas. So I grew up, I grew up in the tropics and the sunshine. My parents are both British, but they moved there ages ago, and I was born there and raised there, so it's not a bad place to be from.
I would say slightly different to Ely, but judging by the view behind you, not today.
I know. I feel like I'm home now today. Yeah.
Well, tell us about the journey. Like, when did you first get into a boat, and then realize that you're really competitive and love racing?
Yeah. So I wasn't very athletic growing up. I mean, I was, but I was never very competitive. I started rowing on my first day of my undergraduate experience, and they had actually sent an email to every incoming girl that was starting at the school. So about 800 young women, saying, "Hey, we've got a rowing team here. If you would like to join, feel free." So I went down on the first day. I think I'd just come from my very first lecture, and I got a tour of the boathouse and saw the other girls rowing, and they had just finished an absolutely grueling erg. So on the rowing machines, they look absolutely spent.
And you thought, I fancy that.
I thought, I'll have a bit of that.
But you actually did.
I mean, it was kind of funny in a way. It was like, it was so far from where I thought I had, from how I saw myself, but there was something quite appealing about it. And then the more that I got into it, the more I realized I was like transforming into those people that I'd seen on my very first day. And that to me was like actually quite cool, that, you know, it was so far from where I thought I could be. And then suddenly it was me. So that was quite a cool transformation. So I went down for the first day, and then I went back every day thereafter, and it's been nearly 6 years now. So
6 years. So yeah. In those 6 years, what would you say is your greatest achievement in rowing to date? Or is it yet to come?
Well, it could be yet to come, couldn't it? And I may have a different answer than date. I think rowing for the GB squad was definitely was a really great experience for me. I was able to train with the GB rowing team, and I was in the women's eight that won a silver medal in the under 23 world championships in 2019, which was loads of fun, just a great group of girls, and quite intimidating actually, because I had never actually lived in the UK despite being British. My parents are British, but I the day after I graduated from Brown, I flew over here and started training with a completely different team and different coaches, and then 6 weeks later was like on the start line of a under 23 world championship. So it was quite a whirlwind, but it was in the best of ways. I loved it.
Now, so if we're going to delve into your teammates a little bit more now, because as you know, your crew was announced last week. I'll just run through it for the people who aren't aware. Cox is Dylan Whittaker, 8 Sarah Tisdale, 7 Bronya Sykes, 6 Sarah Portsmouth, 5 Anushka Fenley, 4 yourself, 3 Abba Parker, 2 Quiva Dempsey, and then Adriana Perez Rotondo makes up the lineup. So, first question, out of the crew, who's your best mate?
Oh, my best mate is Quiva, even if you've met her before, but she's been on the show. But I think we share the same sense of humor. It's up for a laugh. So I think we're on the same page in that respect.
Who would you say is, might be quite difficult to say actually, but who is the strongest?
Oof, that's tough. So that would have to go to our three seat, Abba Parker. Watching her do weights is like something out of another world. Like, it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, she just transforms into like female Hulk. Like, I can't really put it any other way.
What kind of weights are we talking about here?
Probably 50 to 100 kilos, something like that. Something in that realm.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Who's the brain box, Sophie?
Ooh. Well, the brain box, I mean, so that has to go to Dylan. He's the cox. He is quite literally the brain of the crew. I always think when I'm sitting on the start line that I sort of pass my brain off to Dylan because it's, you know, when you get into the rhythm of racing and things, there's just like, you're in so much pain, you just can't afford to think. So Dylan does all of the thinking in that regard, and it helps. He's quite smart too. So, yeah.
That sounds absolutely awful. So during the race, you are absolutely in pain and you are acutely aware of it, but you can't give up. You have to keep going because you're in a race.
And to be honest, like, there are times when you get 3/5 of the way through and you think, I actually don't think I'm going to make it. Like, I actually don't think I'm going to cross this finish line. And you always do. But it's not always pretty.
Wow.
It's pretty. And it's funny because you watch it and we watch loads of video of ourselves rowing and, you know, on TV and everything. And it looks so harmonious and like, mm-hmm. you just have a good old time and like, how could it be that hard? But let me tell you.
Oh, no, I believe you.
It's like 30 seconds and you are absolutely spent and then you've got to keep going for another 16 minutes.
So. And so as quickly as that, actually you start and within the first minute, you're like, oh my gosh, I've got like 15 more minutes of this to go. We've literally just started.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do practice, you know, the first minute or the first 2 minutes and you realize when you finish the first minute, how out of breath you are. And then you think it's going to have to go on for another 15 minutes. But you always get there in the end, which is it's great.
I was going to say, Ollie, after all, I don't actually think this sport's for me after all.
No, that's all right. I don't think it's for me. I don't think it's for many of us. But I was having this chat with Lucy beforehand, Sophie. So presumably in training, you're giving 100% max the majority of the time. But therefore, when you're in the race, how much more can you give? Because obviously you can't get more than 100%, but the whole sort of cliche 110% comes to mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely an element of that. And the danger with that is that you don't want to give 110% and then find halfway through you don't have any much more to give. Because there's no doubt that everybody on that start line is going to give it everything they have and more, especially in the first few strokes of the race. So it's really, that's a game of where the fitness comes in and where ultimately the crew that crosses the finish line first is going to be the crew that's physiologically stronger, because you absolutely whack yourself in the first minute more than we would have ever experienced during training, just because of the adrenaline and everything that comes along with that. And somehow you have to dig deep and keep going.
Last couple of quick fire questions then, Sophie. Let's rattle through these. Who's the chatterbox?
Who's the chatterbox? That's our stroke, Sarah Tisdall. Just not always, what was I going to say? Like, not always useful, but, you know, that's a way, nonetheless.
And who's the joke of the crew?
That might be me.
Yeah?
I love a good joke.
Have you got one for us?
I don't know. I like to ask people on the start line if they've got an oar. Has everyone got an oar?
Quite important.
Beat the toilet. Yeah.
Do you know which way you're going?
Yeah.
Right, let's move on to try and get slightly serious then, of course, because the bonus isn't a few days' time. How much of the history of the event is playing on your mind? Because we've spoke before, Sophie, and it is clear that every single race is marked in history. And equally, you want to put your own stamp on it, don't you? You want to make this race historic for your own reasons.
Yeah, I think it's hugely Yeah, there's a lot of history behind it, and especially with this being the 75th women's boat race, 74 women's crews that came before us, and we've heard from so many of them, and it's just really special to have that legacy behind us. Obviously, this is the second time that the boat race has been raced in Ely, the only other time being in 1944. So there's some comparisons there that are sort of quite fun to think about and quite inspiring. I think it's a massive event, and obviously sort of one of the first public events in rowing. So we do realize that this is sort of we're at the forefront of the return to rowing in many ways, and that's hugely special for us.
Obviously, the race is a little bit different this year, and there's not going to be the thousands of people that line across the riverbanks. Do you think that's going to impact on the adrenaline factor?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different race, but it's one that we've sort of all been preparing for. So I think when you know that there are going to be crowds of people, you envision that, you know, every day when you turn up to training, you envision what it's going to be like to sit on the start line. And for us, it's been a few months now that we've sort of changed that perspective, and we have a better idea of what it's going to look like. So I've never raced on the Tideway, so I can't directly compare. But I know it's still going to be incredibly nerve-wracking, and it's still going to be just as good of a race.
Sophie, I don't know an awful lot about rowing and racing and anything like that, but what I do know a little bit about is food. And I was kind of wondering, what is the diet like for you guys? Like the night before, breakfast time, do you even eat lunch before the race? I'm very curious, what happens?
On the day of the race, yeah. So we've got, just in this week, we've got all our meals planned out for us. It's a lot of carbs and protein. The night before the race, we'll do like a big pasta, loads of carbs. And probably the morning of the race, most people would eat something along the lines of some oats, some porridge, some bagels. I personally get really nervous and can only eat really bland things. So I'll be having just, you know, plain oats. And then for lunch, probably some bread and a banana. But I mean, a normal diet is just like, it's not so much what you eat, but just like, are you eating enough? An average session, we probably burn upwards of 1,000 calories, and we do that sort of twice a day. And you know, that's just like in an hour or two. You might burn more if it was more high intensity. And then you've got
an hour burnt off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a few puddings, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
At the press conference, Sophie, Sean Bowden, the Oxford coach, said advantage Cambridge, I wrote down in my notes, because obviously the race being Ely. Are you buying that, or do you think it'll be pretty even?
I think, yeah, it will be pretty even, to be honest. And there's no reason to underestimate them at all. I think they're going to be really good competition. I really think it's anyone's game. We do have the advantage of sort of knowing where every blade of grass and boat sits along the river. So it's quite familiar for us. But at the end of the day, it's the same distance for everyone. So, yeah, it should be a really great race.
And as you'll know, the Light Blue women have won the last three races. So what's been the key to that, and how do you make it four?
Good question. I think sort of trusting in the training program. Obviously, our coaches put a lot of effort into sort of making sure that we're doing the right training physiologically, and also the aspect of building trust within the crew, and synchronization both on and off water is huge. So we do a lot of that, just sort of sticking together as a team, because, you know, you're not pulling for yourself, you're pulling for the other eight people in the boat as well. So that's massive. Mm. So yeah, I think it's a funny dynamic, because none of the eight of us that won any of the last three races are actually in this crew. So we don't have that feeling of winning, and we don't have that sort of, we don't feel like we're defending our win. We know we're defending the legacy, but it's not, we don't have that direct experience. So it's sort of a different dynamic, but we're all very aware of it, and hope to make it four, as you said.
Yeah, hopefully you can make your own history, as we said, come Sunday. Looking forward to it, Sophie. Really wish you all the best, and the rest of the crew as well.
We'll be screaming at the TV.
Great.
Thanks so much, Sophie. Good luck.
Callum, thanks very much for joining me ahead of the boat race. How are you feeling?
Sports well, on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Not too nervous so far. You know, perhaps that's got a little bit to do with the fact that we haven't really moved. We're in our usual training environment, pretty much. You know, we've moved in together, but otherwise it's fairly similar to how we usually be training.
Well, we'll park the boat race for now and we'll ask some quick fire questions to get you warmed up then. And let's start with, what college are you currently at, Callum?
Peterhouse.
And what are you studying at Peterhouse?
I'm studying for an MPhil in History of Art and Architecture.
And usually ask at this point whether your course relates at all to your activities on the water and rowing. Do they give you a sort of break from one another?
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't think they're particularly aligned. I'm lots of the engineers talk about how, you know, an understanding of mechanics and stuff will help them with their technique and stuff. But for me, they're pretty separate and nice counterbalances for each other, my studies and my rowing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure you're also well aware of the history of the boat race, but I said we'll come on to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lewisham and then Greenwich in southeast London.
And how long have you been, how long have you been in Cambridge?
This is my fourth year in Cambridge. I studied my undergraduate here, reading music, and now I'm doing my MPhil.
Been pretty easy to settle. You enjoying living in the city?
I think Cambridge is a really lovely town. Yeah, it's been a fantastic place to be for as a student. Beautiful architecture as well. So, you know, becoming a little bit more architecturally interested, and yeah, finding it to be a really great place to be. Obviously, it's just changed a little bit this last year. A little bit less buzz around the town, less tourists, but yeah. Just a little bit more peaceful and take it all a little bit more in for what it is.
Yeah, every cloud there's a silver lining, etc. Can you remember the first time you got in a boat?
Oh, good question. Probably not in much detail, unfortunately. I can remember when it was, and I can remember some pretty early racing opportunities that didn't go very well. But yeah, nothing specific about the first day. I think it would have been on the Royal Albert Dock in Newer in East London.
And how old are we talking? When did you first get into the sport?
I think I was 14 years old.
And those sort of early experiences you said didn't go your way. Just go into those a little bit more. What sort of scars did they leave?
Well, I think at the end of my Learn to Row course, I raced in a competition that was called the Dance and Dashes in a single scull, and I think I came sixth. And didn't make there was a sort of a final event for the top four scullers, and I didn't make that. And I remember one of my friends making it, who I thought, you know, maybe I should have been able to beat him if I'd have had a little bit more focus in the first few weeks of my career. But yeah, you know, that definitely set the tone for the first few years, not getting a great deal of success. But
hopefully we'll be able to make up for that this weekend.
That's the plan.
And getting into rowing at 14, was it very much the case that you got into it, you loved it, and you've been doing it ever since?
No, not quite, actually. I think at first it was pretty challenging to sort of stay motivated. Had a really close friend of mine join soon after me, and then for a few years, we definitely motivated each other, pushing each other on, keeping each other's morale up a little bit. And then we sort of, you know, as I met more and more people through the sport, definitely felt happier and happier in our training and our racing as well. So yeah, since then it's been great to be part of the sport for sure.
Now the answer to this question may change, but what's your greatest achievement in rowing today?
Yeah, I think my proudest achievement is winning the boat race in 2019 for sure. I think the other really great achievement is and one that would be sort of different to this one is winning under 23 world championships in the men's eight, and that was the first time that we've won that particular event as a nation, as a sporting federation. So to win the under 23 men's eight at the World Championships is probably on par.
Your crew was announced last week. We're going to run through some quick fire questions about them now. And
sure.
First of all, Callum, who's your best mate in the crew?
Oh, very tough to pick. I'm going to go with Charlie Marcus the Cox. He's very witty, very cheeky. Always knows how to keep you cool. And keep you focused.
Who's the strongest?
Strongest? That's probably Big Ben. Big Ben in the 2C, actually. Yeah, he's a real machine. He's built like a brick wall and really very powerful guy indeed. Yeah.
Who's the brain box amongst the crew?
That's definitely our bowman, Theo. He's just moved on to his PhD, having done extremely well at the natural sciences course at Cambridge. So yeah, he's a fantastic, he's a future Nobel Prize winner of the crew.
He'll be delighted with that. Who is the chatterbox amongst the crew?
That's probably Drew, our stroke man. Drew always knows what to say, and he's always got something witty to throw out. Yeah, he's a good chatty guy, good chatty energy.
And last one, I imagine an important one, given the amount of time you spent together and on the water in grueling sessions. Who's the Joker?
The Joker? That's probably Garth. Garth is the Joker in the 5C. He's always been silly. He's always a little bit of slapstick humour. He keeps us on our toes, keeps us laughing.
Brill. Well, it's great to get to know the crew members a bit more. Let's get on to the boat race then, Callum. How does your sort of preparation change now it gets ever closer? Are you one that's quite superstitious? Because we know the race is all dealt in very, very fine margins. Are you absolutely making sure you've eaten right? Are you making sure that you're going to bed at the right time? You've got exactly the right amount of hours sleep, or are you generally just pretty relaxed and it'll all be all right on the day?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's obviously got to strike a fine balance. We have to get everything right, but stay cool. The trick for me is to make sure everything's planned out. Everything is taken care of with plenty of time before the race. So from the beginning of the week, we've been working to the same schedule pretty much every day, just so, you know, we get into a bit of a routine, don't have to sort of worry about every hour where we should be and what we should be doing. So that's a great way to sort of prepare. And then otherwise, you know, we make sure there's plenty of time for relaxing, to get away from the rowing a little bit with, you know, some other stuff. People want to do reading, etc. So yeah, no, I mean, right now all I'm thinking about is staying relaxed, because I know when the next thing we've got to do is going on.
It feels like, from the outside looking in, listening to a lot of the journalists talk about the boat race this year, that a lot's being made of Ely and the fact that it is home advantage and the fact that it's effectively a shotgun race. Are you making a big deal of it inside the camp, or is it just us journalists sort of making a man out of a molehill?
It is. It does change the game quite a lot. That's definitely right. It's obviously a slightly more simple course, and you're exactly right to talk about it. It's a sort of a drag race, as it were. But yeah, no, I mean, I think for us it doesn't feel too much like a massive change of events. I think we do some pieces here. It's a good river to race on. It's pretty simple, and I mean, we like racing here. It's definitely our home. It'll be cool.
And of course, you're now having won the last two boat races. You'll be feeling a little bit of pressure, I guess, of trying to make it three in the row. What's been key to that success over the past couple of years, and how do you make it three?
Yeah, the 2018 and 2019 wins. I was in the team for both of those. In 2018, I was in the reserve crew, so I definitely saw that team emerge, and the club's been getting stronger and stronger over the last 5 years or so, just building up the right kind of athletes in the team. We've got a pretty clear way about the way that we do, that we run things here, and the kind of energy that we try to build in the team, kind of focus that we aspire to. The general character of this team is that, you know, we're here to enjoy ourselves, and we're in the team because it's really important to us to get this racing opportunity that it drives all of us, but also because we find it really enjoyable, and that helps us to build the momentum between years and keep things going, and yeah, hopefully continue to deliver strong crews for years to come.
Callum, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate you chatting to us, and all the best on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Cambridge 105.